Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. Lord God, thank you for allowing us to hear a portion of your truth today. Give us the will to listen and to abide by your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Our foundation scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The title of today's podcast is Jessica's New Lifestyle. This story is about how Jessica was affected by her father's accident and his miraculous recovery. Well, we're into the month of August, and those of you who are participating in the book writing challenge know that by this month, we should have written that first chapter of our book. As I've mentioned previously, I completed the first chapter of my manuscript last month. And you know, it's such a great feeling. I mean, having completed something, and especially having completed something like a chapter in a book. While growing up, I never thought about becoming an author. Heck, during those days, I didn't even like to read. Anyway, I really don't have time to celebrate the accomplishment of completing a chapter because I have to get on with the finishing of the second chapter, which I've already started. And I've set a deadline of the end of the month to get that completed. Speaking of deadlines, you know, a deadline is important because it gives you a goal to be reached. And even though you may fall behind sometimes on your schedule of meeting that goal, whatever goal or deadline you choose, is still in front of you and is attainable. All you have to do is start or to continue moving forward. So I'm encouraging you to set your own deadlines, in addition to the goals that I set for all of us at the beginning of these podcasts. Now, I know that I set a deadline for anyone participating in this book writing challenge to finish by June of 2020. But the last thing I want you to do is to concentrate on this overall deadline that we all want to meet. I'd like for you to instead be more realistic and focus on meeting a more immediate deadline, like, say, completing a chapter within the next 30 days. And I have found a simple formula for doing just that, and I want to share it with you at this point. I've said all along that it simply doesn't matter how much you write, as long as you write something, a little something every day toward the completion of your book. In that way, you can build on everything that you've written, even if you've only written a few sentences during the course of a day. And you know, it really doesn't matter whether you're writing a large book with many pages or a small one. You still have to begin by writing one sentence at a time, then connect those sentences. By putting sentences together, you'll have a nicely structured paragraph. Now, I realize this is very basic information, but as you gain more experience in writing, you'll become more comfortable at being able to string several paragraphs together to form a chapter. Of course, when you finish each paragraph, you should go over it and make corrections. Or you can wait until you get several paragraphs written before you review your work. And if one is available, you could also get someone you trust to proofread what you've written. Let me give you a little secret at this point. You do know it doesn't have to take you 1 year to finish your book, as I've been talking to you about in these podcasts. You could do it in a fraction of the time. And you know what? If you do that, I'll be the first to congratulate you. Now, I want to show you a way you can write your book in just 5 months. But first, you should focus on writing one chapter a month, starting with the first month, just 30 days. Now, I realize that some of you have already started writing, but whether you've started writing or not, here's the process where this could be done. That is, to write a chapter in 30 days. And that process is what I call the sentence to paragraph to chapter rule. The easiest way of describing this process is to say that you're simply putting sentences together to get to your paragraph. And several of these paragraphs will eventually complete your chapter. So this is how it works. You can very easily write just one sentence within each of the four segments in a day. That is, one sentence in the morning, one sentence at midday around noontime, one sentence in the late afternoon, perhaps just before dinner, and one sentence late at night, just prior to going to bed. Having completed a sentence within each of these four segments of the day, after 1 day, you will have written a paragraph, approximately one half of a page of material. Most English teachers would agree that a typical paragraph might be anywhere from, say, 4 to 7 well-connected sentences that develop a trend of thought. That is, a paragraph. Now, if you did this every single workday of the week for 1 month, you'd have about 15 full pages of material, enough to have completed a chapter of your book. Let's say you do this every month for the next 4 months, then you would have written 5 chapters, which may be enough for your entire book. Not only that, but considering that we're beginning our writing during the summer, you could complete the book in time to market it during the Christmas holiday season, which will be coming up in a few months. Now, that's something to look forward to as you celebrate Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, you certainly can use other holidays as well, like Easter and the 4th of July, as recognizable deadlines to look forward to as you finish a segment of your writing. Can you imagine having a book in hand to show your friends and relatives at Christmas time? Or maybe some other holiday? I think they may have a slightly different opinion of you if you did that. So, yes, you can complete your book in 5 months. We'll be right back with our story of the week when we return. Welcome back. We continue now with the chapter reading. And the title of this week's reading is Jessica's New Lifestyle. Jessica had to adjust to a new lifestyle because of the events associated with the car accident. Her parents, Jason and Terry, shifted their focus from the fun, quote-unquote, activities that the church offered, and became more committed to those activities that provided greater nourishment for their spiritual growth, allowing them to have more of an opportunity to praise God for His goodness. The Lillys continued their regular attendance to Bible study, but they also focused more attention on prayer meetings and testimony sessions, church events that had begun to take more of their time. While still recognizing their importance, many of the so-called fun activities, like bridge and bingo and church socials, received less of their attention. This change in activities did not sit well with Jessica, who had become accustomed to participating in the more social pastimes of the church. She had always attended church with her parents, but she now missed being involved in the activities she especially liked. Despite the fact that Jessica missed going to some of the social events that the church provided, as they had done before the accident, she had witnessed her father's miraculous survival, and her faith had increased. Now, she had the faith of a mustard seed, and that at least now she saw the value of church events like Bible study and Sunday school. Jessica really tried to wean herself from the fun activities of the church that she had grown accustomed to. But she increasingly looked forward to graduating from high school when she would be released, in her mind, from all the strict demands that were placed on her by her parents. She thought to herself, "Once in college, I can finally become independent and do the things that I really want to do." After graduation from high school, she entered a small college, Johnson Tech, in her hometown. Jessica and her parents had made plans for her to attend this institution years prior to her leaving home for college. While at Johnson Tech, Jessica kept up her studies and did well in class, but she also took advantage of the school's social and cultural activities, at least the ones she was made aware of. She adapted well being away from home for the first time. She finally had the opportunity to stay up late and do the things she was unable to do at home when she was under her parents' direct supervision. After leaving class one day, Jessica noticed a lump on her wrist, which continued to grow to the point of being very uncomfortable. The tension in that area of her body caused a soreness that she had never experienced before. Not only that, but the appearance of the lump was unsightly to the point where her friends began to look at her in a strange manner, and slowly most of them gradually drifted away. Within a short period of time, the friends she had hung out with were all gone. And while still doing well academically in school, she now did not have the social attachment to what she thought was an important part of her life. The lump in her wrist persisted for several weeks, and nothing had changed during that period. It still appeared as a large golf ball on her wrist, and it was apparent that something was wrong with that part of her body. She began to be concerned about the nature of it. Was it a cancerous growth? She once asked herself. Jessica became afraid, and her studies were getting affected. Soon she realized that if she did not take action soon, not only would her health concerns persist, but she might fail in her schoolwork as well. With all of these things going on in her life, she remembered how God had intervened in a miraculous way to save her father and to save her family, for that matter, when the collision occurred. While she did not understand all the ramifications of this experience, she continued to marvel at how God had protected and delivered her father from the car accident, which proved to be nearly fatal. Despite the differences she had with her parents on a number of issues, her experience with the accident, as well as what she had learned in Bible class and Sunday school back home over the years, led her to realize that God can intervene in the lives of people for their benefit. At this point, Jessica certainly felt that she needed God to intervene and heal whatever was going on with her wrist. As Jessica recalled the healing of her father, she gained the confidence she needed to start the process of recovering from her own condition, a recovery she felt would come only with help from her mother. Several weeks had passed when Jessica finally called her mother to get some guidance on her health situation. Once on the telephone with her, Jessica told Terry about her risk and said that she wanted to do something about it before she came home for the school break, which would occur in about a week. Jessica talked with Terry about what was going on with her body as well as her spirit, because she felt she was on the verge of becoming really depressed about the situation. While still very young, Jessica knew the value and effectiveness of prayer. After all, she saw how prayer worked for her father. So, she asked her mother to say a prayer on her behalf so that her problem with the growth on her wrist would be healed. Jessica did not realize that her mother was praying for her all along. Not about her current condition, because Terry had no knowledge about that. But Terry did pray for her general welfare while away from home in college. Nonetheless, at this moment, Jessica did not want a general prayer. She needed one that would address the particular issue that she had at the time, the growth on her wrist. Those specific prayers done largely behind the scenes without anyone's awareness, but with great sincerity, are most effective. This is especially true for sons and daughters who leave home for the first time, and their parents have to trust that they will remember their home training and make the best decisions for their lives. In addition to parents, other prayer warriors may include legal guardians, grandparents, friends, and relatives, as well as those who are restricted to hospitals, rest homes, and other institutions whose residents may be thought of as no longer able to contribute in a meaningful way to society. Don't dismiss these folks. In many cases, because of their infirmities, all they can do is pray. And God hears them. Yes, prayer is a powerful tool from whomever the prayer may come from. And it can be an effective tool as we call on God's assistance to touch our own condition, or perhaps the condition of others, especially those in leadership who may affect our lives and the lives of the ones we love with the decisions that they make. This is especially the case with political leaders who affect our freedoms to live our lives in peace, as well as to practice our faith the way we see fit. But prayer often is personal, as it was when Jessica prayed with her mother right there on the phone. And the petition was made that God heal Jessica of whatever condition she had. And Jessica believed her mother. Jessica's mother ended their conversation by telling her to see a doctor on campus to examine her wrist before coming home. Jessica agreed to do so and said, "I love you, Mommy, and tell Dad I'll see all of you soon." Jessica would head home for the semester break only a few days after that conversation with her mother. Before she had completed her midterm examinations and prior to her starting to pack up her belongings for the trip home, she noticed that the lump had decreased in size. She called her mother again to let her know that the lump was still there, but seemed to be getting smaller. The next day, she went to the infirmary and saw a doctor. After a brief examination of the lump, he indicated that it was a growth known as a ganglion cyst, which is common to some people, and that she did not have anything to worry about. So Jessica left the infirmary encouraged, and within the next few days, the lump seemed to have gotten smaller and smaller. Jessica was thankful that she had gone to the doctor to determine what the problem was, and she had done that only after she had talked on the phone with her mother, who encouraged her to see the doctor at her school and get examined before coming home for the break. Jessica's story is similar to that of the nobleman of the Bible, who petitioned Jesus to heal his son. And at the time of his request, he believed that Jesus could do it. That is to say, make his son alive again. And his request was granted. His son was made alive. But when was he made alive? It was when the nobleman petitioned Jesus and asked him to pray for his son. Jesus answered him and said that it had already been done, suggesting that his son was made alive when the petition was made moments earlier with his belief that Jesus could heal his son. So it is with us today. It's what I call the PPB, principle of effective prayer that gets results. These principles are to petition and pray to God about the problem, and then believe that the problem has been resolved because of our request. In Jessica's case, she only had the faith of a mustard seed, but it was enough for her to believe that with her mother's prayers and her belief in those prayers, she could move what she considered to be a mountain, a huge mountain. And that mountain was the condition that she had, but a condition in which she had the faith that she could be healed. Yes, Jessica believed that particular mountain in her life could be moved, and it was moved. Yes, she was healed on that very day of her phone conversation, because that was the time when she believed. So, in Jessica's own way, as it was with the son of the nobleman of the scripture, she was made alive again, even before the news, the good news that she got when she went to the doctor the next day. Yes, at that very time, the time of the phone conversation with her mother, Jessica knew that she was healed from the problem she had, even though the physical healing was not manifested at that time. To be sure, the visible signs of her condition remained for several days after seeing the doctor. Nonetheless, Jessica had the faith that she needed because of her prayer with her mother over the phone that day. Yes, just a phone conversation with her mother is what did it, apparently. Jessica knew then, with the knowledge of her mother's sincerity in prayer, that she would be healed. No, that she was healed, following Mark 11:24. Nonetheless, it took about a week for her healing to manifest itself, physically. So after about 1 week, and after Jessica had left home for the semester break, and just prior to her returning to school from the break, the growth had left her body altogether. Jessica had believed what her mother said as she prayed for her, and she believed that it started a chain of events to where she ultimately saw the manifestation of her healing. Yes, Jessica believed that she was healed long before she saw the doctor, who confirmed what she wanted to hear, that the lump was not a serious problem and that it was in the process of disappearing from her body. Like her father, who miraculously recovered from his car collision with a truck at a city intersection, Jessica realized that God is a real entity in her life as well. Some may have considered her healing a natural occurrence. After all, a ganglion cyst is a rare occurrence in some people. But to Jessica, it was a prayer that was answered. It served as a basic foundation for her spiritual growth and maturity as she moved forward from that point in her life with a new sense of dependence, not a dependence on her parents, but on God, whom she believed healed her. So, instead of the faith of a mustard seed, because of her experiences, Jessica eventually built a mountain of faith that can do just that. Move any mountain that may occur in her life in the future. And as the scripture says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Welcome back. So that's the story for this week. Today's podcast was the conclusion to the story about the lilies. If you'd like a copy of the book that I've been reading from over the past several weeks, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, just go to my website to get order information. That web address is www.williamporterlife.com. You can also go directly to amazon.com to pick up a copy. And remember, we will have a special series of podcasts over the next few weeks. You will not want to miss any of these podcasts. Well, so much for now. In closing the program today, just remember this. Despite your situation, whether good or bad, there's always more good things coming your way. Have a great day and have a great week, and we'll see you right back here the next time.